In God's word, he has made us over 8,000 promises. One of those promises is in regards to his provision for us. He promises us that he's going to work all things together for good and that he's going to provide for us. Now, here's the problem with that, is that a lot of times that doesn't line up with the way that I feel. I have situations in my life where I don't necessarily feel like God's got me. And what I have to learn, and this is something that my dad taught us, and we're going to hear more from him about this topic. He taught us that we have to bounce our feelings off the truth. And today we are going to discuss the truth of the Word of God as it relates to his provision in our lives. So we are going to cut to Tony Evans, who is so good at taking big, life-changing principles and breaking them down into bite-sized pieces. It's actually kind of irritating at times. He can make things so simple when it's so complex in my head. But we are going to cut to the small group, and they're discussing the life lessons you can learn from Elijah.
Well, I hope this gives you a little taste of the reality that provision causes in our lives when we have to ask some real hard questions. And this reality was a reality that Elijah had to face when he's introduced to us in 1 Kings 17. Elijah kind of just comes on the scene from nowhere, but he comes on a big way. He's a prophet. Prophets usually showed up when there were problems, when there were difficulties, and when there were challenges. The particular challenge that Elijah shows up to address is this famine. The people were hungry, it wasn't raining, and the famine existed because of idolatry. The people were in idolatry, they were rebelling against God, and so part of their judgment was a loss of provision. So Elijah shows up to draw the people back to God so they could get the provision from God that they needed and they wanted, but they couldn't receive because they were so distant from God. Well, when he shows up, he says that it's not going to rain in chapter 17 until you folk get right. God is holding back the rain. Your provision or lack thereof is due to your spiritual temperature right now. Then God tells Elijah, he tells him to go to the book of Cherith, which is in the east of Jordan. The Hebrew word Cherith means separation. I want you to separate yourself. I want you to go to a place of solitude. In this bad situation, you separate yourself. And when he did, something amazing happened. It says, it will be, verse 4 of 1 Kings 17, that you will drink from the brook that I've commanded, and the ravens will provide for you there. So he went there, and the ravens brought him bread and meat. This is not junk food, folk. This is bread and meat brought by ravens. He separated himself to God at the place God designated in a famine, and God came up with the most unlikely means of providing. Now, why is it unlikely for you to be provided by a raven? Well, first of all, you're being provided by a raven, okay? And the raven is bringing bread, and he's bringing food, he's bringing a meal to Elijah, who has separated himself in obedience to God, even when it's a famine situation. But what makes it even greater, if I can say that, is that this separation and this feeding is coming from an unclean bird. See, ravens were unclean in the Old Testament, so you were forbidden from eating ravens. Now, what does that tell us about God's provision? That tells us that he can take things that he has rejected and use them to provide for his people, which is why you can't second guess God's provision. I'm sure Elijah never thought a bird's gonna be feeding me today. I eat birds. Birds don't become waiters, okay? So we've got a raven that's become a waiter, or if it's a female, a waitress, and is providing the bread and the meat for him to eat, and there he's eating. So when it looks, well, when you're needing God's provision, don't lock yourself into what you think should be the method, because you never know how God's going to throw a curveball in the way he provides. You just make sure you're in a place of solitude where you're close to him so he can provide. But a new problem shows up. It says the brook ran dry. What happens when God's provision dries up on you? One minute, birds are feeding you. The next minute, the brook dries up and there are no more birds. When God dries up a situation where he has previously provided, That means he's moving you on to a new scenario or provision. God never stays locked in to one way. We stay locked in and then get disappointed when the brook has dried up. God, I thought you were providing for me here. I was when that's where I wanted you. But now I want to move you from this location. And then he tells them there's a widow in a place called Zarephath. Okay, the widow of Zarephath. She's in Sidon. Sidon was the headquarters of Baal. Now, in order to appreciate this story, you have to understand Baal was the productivity god. If anybody was going to feed you, Baal was the man. They looked to Baal to provide their sustenance. Well, it's a famine in the land because God overruled Baal to demonstrate that idols are not your providers. And one of the things we do is we look to our Baals to be our provider, not recognizing that God must be our source and he can pick any resource he needs. Well, he says, I'm going to pick a widow. But that raises a question. Which widow? A whole bunch of widows. How do I know which widow to go to? Not only that, but we're told that the widow was down to her last meal. So how am I going to be provided for by a poor widow? So it's a widow living in a pagan land, and you told me, you told her to feed me. But when it comes to the widow, he's either picking some sticks up as though to start a fire. So he wonders, well, maybe this could be the widow. And he says, feed me. Give me some drink and feed me your bread. She says, we're down to my last meal. Me and my son are getting ready to die here. And you talking about feed me. When I was growing up, I hated when my mother invited the preacher over. Because that man, he got to eat the chicken before I did. I mean, you know, and he would always pick the piece I had my eye on, you know, be frustrating to invite the preacher over. He says, feed me first. Feed me first. And then you will have enough for you and your son to live on. Feed me first, and you will have enough. So here's the principle of God's provision. Luke 6:38 says it. Whatever you're wanting God to do for you, do for somebody else who needs the same thing. Give and it will be given to you. The it you give is the it you get. So if you're needing God to provide money or food or resources or relationship or whatever it is, he asked her to give him what she herself needed because she was down there last meal. And he gave her an encouraging word. He told her, don't be afraid. That means she wasn't scared, she was scared. I mean, she's really scared. But God said, I have already commanded her. God had already set her up to respond. God has already gone and he's already pre-located your provision. But until you go and follow him to your provision, he doesn't seem like the provider. You keep going to the provision he leads you to, and let's see how he changes a widow's mind. An unlikely scenario in a pagan situation. What I want to say to you as we conclude this lesson is, God is your source. He is the source of your provision. You have a whole number of resources, numbers of things God can use through which he can demonstrate he's your source. Keep your eye on God because he has provisions that will blow your mind and that you would never expect.